Learning Adult Discussion and Sharing Group at Women's Christian Fellowship. Today we are going to be in 1 Corinthians, hallelujah, we finished 14, and we are going into 15 today. So, Debbie Morgan, before you take that slip of coffee in your mouth, maybe listen to one
of them. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for just letting us gather here together, Lord, and learn of you and drink in your spirit. And we just praise you for all that you're doing for each and every one of us. All things come from you, Father, and we just thank you and praise you. Help us to look at each situation in the right way, in your way. And bless Kathy as she brings forth this word, and we just thank you. Amen.
Amen. And let's see, who read last week? I wasn't here. You did? Okay, we'll have Buddy read. I want to just read the first 10 verses.
And we're in 15, you said?
We are in 15, and it's finally off of the speaking in tongues.
And now let me remind you, since it seems to have escaped you, brethren, the gospel, the glad tidings of salvation, which I proclaimed to you, which you welcomed and accepted, and upon which your faith rests, and by which you are saved, if you hold fast and keep firmly what I preach to you, unless you believe that first without effect in all for nothing. For I passed on to you, first of all, what I also had received, that Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, died for our sins, in accordance with what the Scriptures foretold. And he was buried, and he rose on the third day as the Scriptures foretold, and also that he appeared to Cephas, Peter, then to the 12. Then later he showed himself to more than 500 brethren at one time, the majority of whom are still alive, but some have fallen asleep in death. Afterwards he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, messengers. And last of all, he appeared to me also as to one prematurely and born dead, no matter then, and in perfect fetus among living men. For I am the least worthy of the apostles. Who am not fit or deserving to be called an apostle, because I once wronged and pursued and molested the church of God, oppressing it with cruelty and violence. But by the grace, the unmerited favor and blessings of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not found to be for nothing, fruitless and without effect. In fact, I worked harder than all of them, the apostles, but it was not really I, but the grace, the unmerited favor and blessings of God which was with me.
Okay. And then I'm just going to finish up with 11. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believed. It doesn't matter who's preaching as long as you're believing. And I have to grin at in verse 10. I call it the Popeye verse. I am what I am. By the grace of God, I am what I am. I find that to be something that people really need to learn and embrace. To find out who you are and to be who you are, to know who you aren't, and to accept what you are and what you aren't.
Don't you think it actually has to be the grace of God to reveal that to you?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise,
God,
I mean, if it says it, I mean, people, you know, when they take, depending on what stand they take, mm-hmm. I should say it like that, that's more clear. If they take a stand that is by grace, then I believe that grace will penetrate their being and live through them. And I hate to say it, but if they take a stand of the law, then that'll probably penetrate them too, and they'll keep it. Not that they keep the law, but they'll try to do everything they can. But they'll try to encourage you to keep it. Can I read out Jacob? Go ahead.
I think they also try to judge you by the law.
Ooh, yeah.
Now, we're not to judge one another, but...
Well, I think it's okay to judge people by grace.
Yeah.
I mean, but the law, I mean, he put it, when he explained this, he put it right on the road, the foot on the road, walking it. He put that whatever amount or however you judge, that is how you're going to be judged. I mean, a lot of people don't like mentioning that, or they want to bypass that, but you can't bypass Jesus, what he did. I mean, you can't buy, that's like trying to bypass the blood. My goodness. I mean, that's just not possible. I mean, you can do it, but your inheritance isn't going to be too good. I was going to ask you, can I read the first two or three verses in J.B. Phillips?
Sure.
Now, my brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel which I have previously preached to you, which you accepted, on which you have taken your stand, and by which, if you remain faithful to the message I gave you, your salvation is being worked out, unless, of course, this is where I was going to, your faith had no meaning behind it at all. You know, I'm going, ooh. I mean, really, I mean, it, you know, we're no more than what our faith is being active, involved in not only our lives, but other people's lives. I mean, the faith is, without faith, it's impossible to please him. There's so many scriptures about faith. Faith can move the mountain. Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of times that mountain's not out there, it's right here. And a matter of fact, to be honest with you, it's right, probably right here, in between these two ears, you know. And then we have, of course, the scripture where Jesus told, I'm trying to think who he told, the one that didn't believe.
Thomas.
Thomas, where he told him, he said, hey, better that you do not see and yet believe. But then, I mean, you know, of course, I'm sure Thomas knew by then when Jesus said, here, in my hand, here, put it here. He knew already that none that he had spoken to Jesus. Well, so he quit wondering, well, how did he hear that? Well, he heard that because he hears all things. You know, he hears what the Father allows him to hear, you know, through the Father. But I think this is such a great thing. And then there at the end in the 10th and 11th verse where he actually denies anything of itself. It's by his grace, you know. And he knows from whence forth. He said, you know, I'm the one that persecuted the church of God. You know, and that just don't happen. I mean, I know where the scripture says God is God and he changes not. But in this, Paul's talking about he persecuted the church, and now he's been changed, and he's not taking that change lightly. It's by that grace that reached out and grabbed him. And I think that's what really holds us, is that grace of God that passes all understanding, to where sometimes I don't know if we really grab a hold of the grace of God like we should. First of all, we should be very reverent with it. That it should mean so much to us, sometimes we need to probably close our eyes, and if tears come out of them, that's okay. Yeah. Because I think God's allowing us to have visitation then, by his grace. I mean, you know, by his grace, a lot of things have happened to us that wouldn't have happened to us. I mean, wasn't by his grace we were set free from the law? Isn't that what it says? I mean,
you know, an awful lot of times I wake up in the morning singing a song. And usually, a lot of times lately, the song that I sing in my, down inside in my spirit somewhere is, we'll sing, dance, and tell the world of his love. And this morning, this thought came into my mind, and it was an interesting thought. It wasn't a good thought, it was an interesting thought to think about this. Will grump around and frown, tell the world of his judgment and punishment. And I thought to myself, how sick is that? Why would anybody sing that? This is not our God. There is therefore now, listen to this wonderful verse, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Wow, what did we ever do to be in Christ Jesus?
Who walk no longer after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And once you've gotten a taste of walking after the Spirit, nothing satisfies you anymore except Spirit. Because that's who we are.
But that other little part of the song you were singing, that's what we're doing. A lot of the church, we're doing this
exactly
to them and telling them that they're going
yes
to hell. You know,
yes,
this is what
yes
it is. It's what we're...
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's a rejoicing song.
Yes.
I mean, that's a song that we didn't make up.
Hmm.
I feel like it was made for us,
mm-hmm,
to bring us to a rejoicing revelation of exactly what he has given us and actually obtained for us.
One other, other verses of that song is sing, dance, and tell. Until Zion sees eye to eye,
right,
we shall restore love's creation more and tell them they don't have to die.
Yes.
Now, you know, the church is not doing that. They're telling them they're going to die.
They're
going to go to hell.
Well, that's because they're imputing their trespasses,
yes,
and tell them they're
going
to die in their sins.
That's right. That's what they're doing.
And that's contradictory to what the word declares.
And it goes on. We all together
shall ascend.
Shall ascend. And while living in him,
right,
we are changed to with men
it is
as
what?
Well.
Yes.
Redeemed we do
yes
sing as we dance for
beautiful
our King. When? To when? Till there is not one man in hell. Hallelujah. I think that is just, I mean, it just is a part of my being.
Well, I believe that word, that part about we all shall ascend while living in him.
Mm-hmm.
The ascension is coming into the knowledge and the full knowledge of who he is and who he is in us. Because that's the ascension. It's
mm-hmm
not you're literally flying away
yeah
into the Mars
no
somewhere
way
or
no
something like
uh-huh
that.
Yeah.
It's you ascending into the knowledge of God and functioning in that knowledge, you know. And
let this mind be in you.
Mm-hmm.
And be ye transformed by the
right
renewing of your mind.
Well, see, that's why a couple of weeks ago when I talked about the curse, you know, a lot of people, you know, a lot of Christian people, if they hear that message, they will
won't like it.
They won't like it at all because,
no,
you know, the curse, if he's talking about people basically about them stealing and doing this and creeping into houses and doing all kinds of stuff. And the very things that he's saying is part of the Ten Commandments there, see?
Mm-hmm.
And that roll was, you know, 20 cubits by 10 cubits wide. Well, 10 is the number for law and responsibility. According to the law and responsibility of it, you'll never attain because you can't. Because if you fail in one point, you fail in it all, you know? And until Christians come to realize that, and the only, like Clyde was saying about grace, the only way you can enter into it is through the grace of God. It's
mm-hmm
through what he did, not what you do.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't give you the right to just do anything. I mean, you know, you're gonna suffer for the things that you do sometimes. You know, you reap what you sow to a certain extent. So sometimes you have a tendency that it affects you when you do. Anytime you fall short, it affects you some, you know. But that's not the judgment of God. That's just literally the law of reaping and sowing, you know. And, you know, if you're hateful to people, then you're going to receive hate back, you know, from other people, you know. And that's where we have to begin to function in the law of love. If we don't function in the law of love, then we're going to miss it entirely, you know.
But by His grace.
Right.
I think what he said, I think that what a lot of people do, they find out what vine we're connected to by watching our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her years ago, I mean, we only have one opportunity, and it's the very first time we meet people, to show them the love of God. And from that moment on, they'll look for what they see or don't see. And I mean, you know, we need, I think, what was it? He rejoices in what? In the judgment of God. I think that what we'll do is we'll invite people, you might know them, you might not, to actually watch your life. And if there's anything that they're, you have a problem with or whatever, we should be willing to stand corrected. You know, that's like, a lot of people don't like that. Well, you know, I'm answerable to such. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were talking, I think, last week of a person that was a great, he's really a good, I'm between good and great, on the prophecy. He really was really good, but he didn't want to come in and join the assembly, mm-hmm, because he didn't want to be judged by the assembly. Mm-hmm. But yet, that's what the scripture says to do. It says what? One prophesied, the other remained silent, and judge that which is prophesied, right? I mean, and when you do that, you basically take the word and cut yourself off from the word, because you're not subjecting yourself to the body of Christ. And we all need to be subject to the body of Christ. I mean, you know, I listen to all of you guys, and I receive from all of you. Because of how God has dealt with you, and you've dealt with God in the area where you've not been exposed to anything else, as far as, like, you know, with other people. And that's very exciting to me, to hear freshness come from another vessel, to where, well, that vessel is not another, that vessel is of God. I mean, and you hear God speak. I mean, a lot of people say, well, I've never heard God speak. Well, the old saying is, he gives two sets of ears and one set of lips. Maybe we need to quit talking and wait and listen. And when having done all, stand still. I mean,
put on the whole armor.
I think it's very exciting. I wanted to proclaim, we're living in a great day.
Yes.
We're living in a great day. And Oscar said out in the foyer a while ago, God's doing a lot of things. He's moving a lot of ways. But you know what? And we will say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Yes.
And then he tells us, after you saying yes, 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 amen. Because to the things of God, his people ought to realize, whatever God does, it's yes, that's good, that's good, that's good. And, you know, we probably haven't, I'm not going to put you in a group like that, because I don't like putting myself in that. I believe that God is working on us to be more than Joseph. He's wanting us to be more of a son. He wants us all to be sons. I mean, you know, Joseph was a great story, and it was great. You know, everything that happened to him wasn't great, but as he looked at it, it was. But now that we see Jesus and have received Jesus, oh my goodness, that which was spoken of, which would be great, is already great. It's already happened. And what a day. I mean, we should rejoice in the fact that he's sitting on the throne. You know, him and his Father have one complete oneness. And if we'll hear his word, we'll fine-tune our ears to hear his word. We'll hear him say, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. And that should excite us too. You know, you don't have to listen to everything. But when God speaks, you know, it's like you were talking about. A lot of people take that as funny. I am what I am. Well, I believe that's exactly what it is. Would it be fun if you knew that God would say that? Because I think he does say
that.
Loud and clear.
And after we say, after we learn who we are and say, by the grace of God, I am what I am, I think that God looks at us and says, that's my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased.
You know, my brother and me have had so many conversations, and one of them was driving down doing a job for somebody, and he looked right at me, and he was driving. He looked right at me and says, you know, I'm having trouble with the law. And he wasn't talking about the speed limit out mm-hmm. in the street. He was talking about the Ten Commandments. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Lord kind of hit me and says, he goes like this, well, ask him which one of those two he's having trouble with. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Which one of them you having trouble with? He smiled at me and said, neither one. I said, well, then you're not having trouble with the law. Because then these two are all fulfilled. I mean, it, you know, I think sometimes we carry something on to us mm-hmm. that we need to really let go.
Well, I like this because I just said that exactly what we said before when we got out of the car today. I said something about something and she said, why do you have to say it that way? And I said, because I am what I am.
Well, that's right.
That's what I said.
You know.
Am I correct?
I love that. Because in saying that, what we're saying is, I am what I am by the grace of God. And when I see God as he is, guess what we'll be? We'll be changed exactly like he is.
But I like this. It says, this thing says, though undoubtedly the most influential of the apostles, Paul was deeply humble. He knew they had worked hard and accomplished much, but only because God had poured kindness and grace upon him. True humility is not convincing yourself that you are worthless, but recognizing God's work in you. And it is having God's perspective of who you are and acknowledging his grace and develop your abilities. That's the whole point of the whole yeah, thing. You can think you're the greatest thing on planet Earth, but the bottom line is if you're not walking with the Lord and you're not walking in his perspective of who you are, you're missing the point. You know, we only have what we have because of the grace of God. You know, I have certain abilities, certain things that I think I'm pretty good in, but none of it would be anything if it wasn't for him. And I can't, even if I thought that it wasn't him, I wouldn't be able to use him to the best of my ability without the grace of God.
Well, that definition of grace, the divine influence on the heart and its mm-hmm. reflection into the life, sometimes I think we frustrate the grace of God because we feel all this Amen. Coming from God and we know it, but it's not given forth to the world.
You know, that kind of brings me, this has been on my mind. I just love Aldi's parking lot. Aldi's parking lot to me is one of the very few places in the world where you can show kindness to complete strangers. So you have this little thing where you have to put the quarter in to get the cart, and then you take the cart and then you come out. It's still got the quarter in there. And if you hook it up, back up, your quarter comes back to you. Well, I just, any chance to find somebody walking in with 8 or 10 bags under their arms, and I say, here, would you like a cart? And they say, oh yeah, here's a quarter. I say, oh please, no. That's fine. And it makes me feel so good. I even said this to a lady the other day. She said, yeah, let me give you a quarter. I said, oh no, please don't. I said, Aldi's parking lot is one of the only places where you can give kindness to total strangers and it doesn't seem strange. I love it. And I said to her, I said, and I love the way it makes me feel. And she just laughed and she says, I know exactly what you're saying. And she walked off with my car. And that little things. It's so wonderful when God gives you a chance to show small kindnesses to complete strangers.
A guy did that to me this week. A lady gave me her cart, and I was trying to give it to him, but I had an ulterior motive, because then I didn't have to walk it back. I said, you need a cart? He goes, no. I go, oh, okay. He goes, you want me to take it back? I said, yes, please. Debbie. He chased me down to give me back the quarter. Aww. I said, I don't want it. I was given the quarter.
Debbie felt so good about donating stuff, she donated her cane. And then her attitude was, well, maybe they needed it back worse than I did.
Praise God.
I mean, I'm thinking that, you know, I hate to use the word, I don't like using the word accident, but because we're denying who's in charge. It's, but the privilege for something to happen to us that causes a reaction that we don't understand necessarily, is really, we should check it out and say, this is really God in this. Because, you know, it's just an opportunity.
I remember, I think it was last year, Brent and I go down and get fish from our cousin. He sold fish and I opened the door and I stepped out. And I was walking and I looked down and saw this thing that looked like a mashed up cup. But it wasn't, it was a wallet. It was full of money, you know, like 20s and 50s and stuff like that. And I said, well, let me look and see if there's any ID in here. And sure enough, there was one. And I kind of knew that it was a guy that did, you know, push drugs, because it was fat. And later, since, well, the week before, we came down there and it rained, so it had a band up. Rubber band around it, and broke, you know. So I said, okay. So I looked in and I saw the ID. I said, well, I'm going to take it to my cousin, let him, you know, try to find somebody that belongs to it. And sure enough, he did, you know. But there was that thing that actually it was God speaking, this doesn't belong to you, so make sure you get to the right person. So I just gave it to him. And my cousin, he said it's about $1,000 in that wallet. And he found a guy that used to be a police officer, and they tracked this guy down and gave it back to him. And he offered my cousin some money. He said, oh, no. He said, I'm not going to accept the money because the person that found it didn't want any reward or something like that, which was true. I don't do that. If I find something like it and I knew or find an ID on it, I'm going to give it back to him. Because, hey, who knows?
Saw the police and was afraid to even say it belonged to him.
Well, no, because this guy was a former policeman.
Who?
And he, know, and he kind of knew the guy. And, he gave it back to him. Because if I lost something and somebody found what I lost and had my ID, I would want to get it back.
Sure. But, you know, we can all do that. My brother was telling us a story the other day. They were coming back from North Carolina and some little girl ran into the back of their car. And all it did was scratch up the bumper of his car. And he said she was crying and saying, my dad's going to kill me and, you know, all this stuff. And he said he got out and he said, don't worry about it. You know, you didn't hurt my car. And they called her dad and he told her dad, don't worry about it. You know, it just scratched her car. You know, just scratched her car. We can fix it. Don't worry about it. You know, don't be too hard on her. And that's my brother who is totally a non-believer.
Yeah.
But still, you know, in my heart of hearts, I have to believe that God was telling him.
That's right.
Show some compassion here.
Mm-hmm. I know one thing, my father, my earthly father, he made sure that he found something and he knew who it was. You best give it back. Mm-hmm. When he said, best give it back, yeah, he will.
That was a way of saying, you don't have a choice here.
The consequences.
Well, you had a good example.
Yeah, he was. Yep. So was my mother.
It doesn't take much to be right. It's a lot easier to be right than it is to be wrong. And it doesn't take much to show us a tiny bit of kindness to someone.
Thing is, I didn't want to, if I didn't do right, I didn't want God to convict me. Okay? Especially when I knew that it wasn't mine and it was the idea of the woman. So, you know, after that, you know, it was out of my hands.
What did you say he told him to tell him to be gentle? He's very upset.
Yes. He said when the father came, he pulled him aside. He said, your daughter is very upset about this. Be gentle with her.
That's good. That's good.
I was looking at this verse 10 again. In King James, it says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Mm-hmm. In the Passion Bible, it says, but God's amazing grace has made me who I am. Mm-hmm. And his grace to me was not fruitless. In fact, I worked harder than all the rest. Pride there. Yet, not in my own strength, but God's, for his empowering grace is poured out to me. His empowering grace is poured out to all of us. There's something about that ascending. Mm-hmm. You don't real, you know, when you're in this frame of mind, you can only see the things of that level. But when you ascend, and I'm not talking about with your feet hanging out of the clouds and you're going up, when you ascend in your thought process, when you let that grace of God change who you are, you start to see things from a spiritual point of view. And you know what the best, to me, the best part of that is that it doesn't have to be today, and it doesn't have to be how I think it should be. I only do what I see my Father do. I'm saying, oh, is this really true all the time for me? I'm saying, when that becomes reality to us, we will only say what our Father tells us to say. We will only say what we hear our Father say, you know? We'll only do what he tells us to do. And along with that goes, we'll only do it when he tells us to do it. Go ahead.
I want to read the 10th verse out of the Living Bible.
That'd be great.
But whatever I am now is all because God poured out such kindness and grace upon me, and not without results. For I have worked harder than all the other apostles, yet actually I wasn't doing it, but God working in me to bless me. That's how we should look at that.
You know, we all have nothing. We all are, oh, I don't know how to say this. The only thing that we should be feeling at any time when we're walking with God is gratitude. It's just, it is, what do you say there? He made me who I am by his loving grace.
Right.
He made me who I am.
Well, wasn't it the Apostle Paul that he said he prayed three times for that to be delivered of him, like a pain in the side or whatever it was? And what did Jesus say? I mean, what did God say to him? My grace is sufficient. I didn't read anywhere else where he prayed again for it. But I'll tell you what he did. He, like Oscar has been teaching us, he received the word of God. In receiving, you know, we are kept by the receiving of his spirit, by his word. And in that word that we receive, what a life. What a life that we get to live. Christ in you. I still believe that. Christ in you is the hope of glory.
Yes.
Not just God's glory, but it's the hope that man would see the works of God in you. And then it says, and glorify the Father. They'll see him in you and glorify the Father. That's tremendous work.
Well, he's not going to see God the Father in us until we let go of judging. You just can't live by the law for other people and try to live in grace for yourself.
I think what they will see in us is the mercy of God. Mm-hmm. And when they see that mercy, they'll say, of a truth, their God is God. Mm-hmm. I don't know who it was. I would see Jesus over and over. That still rings true. I would see Jesus.
Mm-hmm. The Greeks came saying that. Mm-hmm. The Greeks came saying that, and the disciples came and told Jesus. They've come saying that we would see Jesus, and he said, the hour has come that the Son of Man must be glorified.
Yep.
He knew it because that the world was seeking after him then. Mm-hmm. So that's how he knew it was time, you know. Mm-hmm. You guys were talking about ascension a while ago.
Yeah.
And when the Lord gave me that words to a song that I wrote that one time, the words went like this. It was, he paid it all so that we might live. He paid it all, what more could he give? The greatest gift that man has known when he ascended from God's throne. And when Linda was trying to put music to that, she said, don't you think the word ascended should be changed to descended? And I thought about it, and I thought, no, really it shouldn't.
Mm.
Because know you not that you're the temple of God? And if you're the temple of God, where's his throne at? It's inside of you. And when he ascends inside of you, when he stands up inside of you, then your whole life begins to change. Until he stands up from that throne inside of you, you go on in that same old mistaken identity and that same old sin consciousness, that same old condemnation of other people and everything that you deal with, you know what I mean, negative attitude. Mm-hmm. But when he ascends in you, then, you know, we always want to have him descending, coming down, but he doesn't. And then what did Paul say? He'll go up to bring him down or down to bring him up. Mm-hmm. Where's the word of faith at?
Nigh
you and in your heart and in your mouth. And see, it's already there. It's already there. And then people come to the realization that it's already there, you know. Now, God had to deal with them on the level of where they were. And when the Holy Spirit came, it came in as a mighty rushing wind, and cloven tongues sat on each one of their heads. Well, they still had the mentality of it had to come down, you know. And when you talk to a lot of Christians, if they'll talk about a big move of the Holy Spirit or a real outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a assembly or something that's going on, they'll say, oh, the Spirit of the Lord really fell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the term. Mm-hmm. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord really fell in that meeting, you know. Really what happened, the Spirit of the Lord rose up.
Mm-hmm.
Rose up inside of those people. And all of a sudden, they begin to realize that, you know, Jesus said, you know, I, the Son of Man, which I'm in heaven, standing right there in front of him.
Yeah.
You know, and Brother Eddie used to quote that a lot, you know, about, you know, in Gospel of John, where it said, you know, I, the Son of Man, which I'm in heaven. And, you know, the thing, when we come to realize we don't have to go up to bring him down or down to bring him up, but that word of faith is inside of us, in our hearts and in our mouths. And when we speak it, the power of God is spoken forth. And I was thinking about what Debbie said over a while ago when she said something about, you know, she said about, you know, the grace of God being the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection out into the life. Well, the thing about it is I, right away when she said that, I was sitting there thinking, it's like the kids' song. What was that first kids' song? One of the first kids' songs we learned in church this what, little white of mine, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And that's when you let that glory of God come out, you know. And we have the ability to let it come out or to hold it in, you know. And when we show people the love of God or the mercy, like you were talking about, with even with the quarter, you know, when you do kindness to somebody, you're letting that shine from within. This, that little light of yours, you're letting it shine, you know what I mean? And just imagine the light that's going to be in the world as each Christian really starts letting the light, the inner light of God, shine forth. And it'll be similar to what happened to Jesus when he went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and was transfigured before him. The glory of God broke forth from inside of him to the outside. Oh my God, what a glorious thing that was, you know, because I mean, basically they just fell down, you know, it was so glorious, you know.
Yes.
But, you know, we're in a day and an age where God's really taken the lid off of a lot of the things, and we're going to come to understand so many things and be able to not only just understand them and stand underneath them, you know, but we're going to be able to shine forth. And the glory of God is going to be seen, you know.
See, I hear Brother Eddie sing that song, "Go Tell the World of His Love." As we ascend in Him, they will see, and all, what is it, Zion will see eye to eye. Until there is no more.
We'll sing, dance, and tell the world of His love, and until Zion sees eye to eye. We shall
restore
love's creation more and show them they don't have to die. We all shall ascend, and while living in Him, we're changed till with men and as well. Redeemed we do sing as we dance for the King, till there is not one man in hell. That was the, I believe I got all the words right.
That just thrills my heart.
Yeah. That's a great song.
You know what? That word is for anybody that has any relatives. Brothers, sisters, moms, dads, children, grandchildren that don't know the Lord. That's a word of positive speaking into existence what God has done. Triumphantly proclaiming the goodness of Jesus Christ amongst the living is what I think.
Well, the headline in my Bible, which is an NIV, says instruction on resurrection. And when I'm looking at the first 10, I guess it is, where it says, "I worked harder, but I not knew, for the grace of God was with me." You know, it's kind of a contradiction that I worked harder. The difference is, in today's world, everybody thinks I worked harder. You know, I'm working harder than the other guy. I'm better. The difference is Paul not only knew he worked harder, but he also knew that without the flow of the grace of God within him, he couldn't have worked harder. And that's where I think a lot of Christians today miss the point. They don't let the grace of God flow through them. They let themselves try and be better than what they think. And they don't allow the grace of God to flow in their life. Wow. You know, and I know that I'm not saying it's the easiest thing in the world to do in this day and time, but that's the lesson that's being taught in these first 10 verses.
Well, Paul knew who he worked for.
We see in James where James talked about being a doer of the word, you know, that word doer means. Literally, it means a performer, it means a poet, it means be harmonious is what it really means. Be harmonious with the word, that we might not only be a doer of the word, then we can become a doer of the work too. Because if you're in harmony with the work comes naturally. It isn't something that you have to, you know, struggle. What do I do, Lord? What do you want me to do? It'll flow out naturally.
True.
Whether it's leaving your quarter in your thing or in your cart, or it's letting somebody take the parking spot instead of you, you know, or whatever, because you see it's somebody that looks like they need to be closer to the door, or or whatever it is, and just the little things. And Scripture tells us not to despise the day of little things. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't do the little things, we won't do the bigger things.
We can't do the bigger things.
I love that song, Little is Much When God Is In It. Labor not for wealth and fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you'll go in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. And if we just go in that nature of his name, the power of his name, no matter how little whatever you're doing is, it becomes a great thing because it begins to bring the kingdom of God into the realm of the natural, you know.
Man has a backward so much because they want to work for God and work for God.
Yeah.
But really out of your relationship and what he's done in you and that and the word
right.
and that causes this, you're not working for him, but it's flowing forth,
right.
you know, it's, because of what's been done in you.
Right. That's true. Praise the Lord.
Go ahead.
Kathy. Mm-hmm. In James, the first chapter, the 12th verse, it says, the man who patiently endures the temptations and trials that come to him is truly happy man. For once his testing is complete, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised mm-hmm. to all who love him. When you were saying that, I go, oh my, and I'm reading this, I go, yeah. I mean, you know, because Chuck and me have several conversations about his friends, and I tell him, I said, you know, it's better that we go hide behind a tree and do something for somebody and know that they haven't seen us do it. Do that which is in secret. I mean, instead, because I'm pretty sure the scripture says, I might paraphrase this, but the scripture says that if you do it in front of people and they praise you, you've received all that you're going to receive. But if you do it in secret, God will reward you in the life thereafter with great reward.
It actually says he'll reward you openly.
Right, that's right. That's what it says.
He'll begin to reward you where people say, they'll begin to see you being rewarded without you really doing anything to get the reward,
right.
you know. Yeah, it's
God's word's great.
It is.
God is great.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
It is. Yeah, it's tremendous.
Perfect love casts out fear. We yes. have nothing to fear. We serve a God of perfect love. Well, let's see here. How is a thou Brandon throws us in a powerful word of prayer?
Oh, Father, how we just praise you, Lord. We look so forward to coming together and the sharing of you in one another, oh God. And we thank you for what you're doing in each of us, Lord. Refilling yourself, Lord, and being seen in and to us and through us, oh God. And we praise you. We give you praise, oh God. And as we go forward to the next service, be glorified, oh God. Be glorified in word, song, and everything that is done. For we ask it all in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let all things be done in order, all right?
Amen.